This ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 97.5.com podcast is presented by Bud Light, the perfect beer for whatever happens. You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the Lipo Dental Studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
Well, you know, we love music here. We come back with a group called The Editors, the song Munich, which very appropriate with Bayern Munich in UEFA Champions League played this Wednesday in a huge match against Barcelona. Pep Guardiola returning to a scene of a lot of great success. Both as a player and a manager. 713-780-3776 is the number. Daspit Law Firm, working for you 24-7. Houston personal injury attorneys handle personal injury cases. So whether it's plant and refinery accidents, medical injuries, industrial accidents, 18-wheeler accidents, it goes all the way to boat, car accidents, wrongful death cases. Now, every one of us at some point will need an attorney. DaspitLaw.com, 713-364-0915, DaspitLaw.com. And with the Daspit Law Firm, you rest more assured in times of stress depending on the circumstances of your accident. You want to have that hard-hitting personal injury attorney on your side to fight for your right for compensation. Bilingual, 888-273-1045. Soccer Matters, thanks. The Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Gorgeous Gale, it is a place to be tomorrow. And it is a place to watch the Champions League. It's over in West University. It's on 5555 Morningside. It is a great place to watch soccer matches. They've got all kinds of great cocktails, craft beers, a real strong whiskey offering over there if you're one who partakes in whiskey. Gorgeous Gale. Peter is their owner, Peter Kingston and David Roach. Get over there. Taste the Irish hospitality. It's the Gorgeous Gale. .com. It's over at 5555 West University. And, of course, in Midtown, get down there to see Raymond and Bayern Munich. Our Bayern Munich Goal of the Week, by the way, comes for Obafemi Martins. And after the flick from Clint Dempsey, after a huge buildup, Clint Dempsey, Obafemi Martins, the Seattle Sounders, 3-1 winners over New York City FC. Goal of the Week, brought to you by Bayern Munich, is the one and only Obafemi Martins. Is there an more interesting pair in Major League Soccer to watch than those two? Quick hit here. Jimmy Greaves, the former England striker, a very famous name in the history of English soccer. He is in intensive care after suffering a stroke, sadly. So sorry to hear that. Not the best of news there. And what's going to happen tomorrow? How does Real Madrid handle this first leg in turn? And by the way, this would be perfect for Andrea Pirlo, who's getting towards the end of his career. And how much pressure do you think is on Carlo Ancelotti? If they don't get past Juventus, do you think he's fired? 713-780-3776. But we'll take your phone calls here right now. We go right now to one of our great sponsors, one of the most consistent over the years, and he does have the best contemporary furniture in Houston. He is at Fondren and Westheimer. He is Danish Inspiration's contemporary furniture owner. He is the Great Dane. He is Jan Christensen. Jan, how are you?
Hey, great. I'm doing great, man. I'm doing fine. It's a beautiful night, and I'm getting ready for the next 2 days here. It's going to be two exciting games coming up.
And Jan, as always, you'll have the Champions League on in your store, Fondren and Westheimer. It's Danish Inspiration's contemporary furniture. If you are the contemporary furniture type, this is a monster store, selections beyond belief. If you want to style up your place, you go see Jan Christensen at Danish Inspirations Contemporary Furniture. Jan, tell us what you got going on in the store.
Yeah, we got some good leather specials, and of course on your favorite leather recliner, Stressless, we have a special $500 discount, you know, and just see the salesperson for details, and you can get a great recliner for the next two Champions League games. And, of course, we show the games in the store, and so you get a chance to test out the recliner and sit and watch a great game here the next couple of days.
Well, you know, Jan, the chair that you gave me, the Stressless, I've got the black one. So I moved, as you know, into a new apartment. Maybe you and I are going to watch the Champions League there on Wednesday when Barcelona and Bayern Munich play. But I have extra room in my bedroom now. It's perfectly angled towards my TV. That's stressless. It is the perfect fit and complement to my bed in there, and I am watching games on that thing. And sometimes I got to get up and walk around because it's so comfortable. I get a little bit sleepy on that. But you got stressless. You got all kinds of other Natuzzi, other great brands through the store.
Natuzzi leather, and we got some great new bathroom set that just came in from Italy, and lots of new selections to look at for the furniture lover and for the soccer lover, of course.
Yeah, so we always remind you on this show, support the businesses that support this show, like Jan's company, Danish Inspirations Contemporary Furniture. Spend your money with people that support the game. Spend your money. If you like this show, it's men like Jan Christensen that put this show on the air because of their sponsorship dollars. It's you, the fan, the listener, the caller, that helps to keep the show on. But we want to support our sponsors, so please do that. Jan, any predictions on tomorrow's first leg in turn, Juventus and Real Madrid?
Yeah, you know, I have a suspicion. I would say 1-0 Juventus, man. I'm going to go with 1-0 Juventus. I think they have a strong defense, and they those Italians are always able to sneak in one goal. So I think that's going to be my bet.
Do you think Carlo Ancelotti gets fired if they don't get past Juventus?
I think he will. Unless if he can win the championship in Spain, he might not. But I think he'll get fired if they don't get that. That's my judgment.
Yeah,
unfortunately, that's Madrid. You know, they're tough guys down there, man.
That was a great segue, Jan, because I can remind people that Barcelona's in first place. They had an 8-0 win over Cordoba. Messi with 2, Suarez with 3. Second place, Real Madrid beat Sevilla 3-2. Cristiano Ronaldo had a hat trick. Barcelona has a 2-point lead over Real Madrid in La Liga with 3 games to go.
One of those games is against Atletico Madrid for Barcelona in Atletico, you know. So that's a difficult one.
Now, it could be the spoiler. Cristiano Ronaldo, by the way, has the most hat tricks in the history of La Liga with 25. That's right. Ahead of the likes of Messi and Alfredo Di Stefano. So pretty,
right. And we have
pretty
to take
remarkable.
Will Atletico Madrid? That Real Madrid win the championship. That's all this stuff going on.
It's unbelievable. It's coming thick and heavy. And by the way, Boca Juniors and River Plate, because I just mentioned this, Jan, because I know you've been to games in Argentina when you're on your business trips down there. Boca Juniors, River Plate will meet in the first leg of the Copa Libertadores round of 16 this Thursday. It's the second of 3 meetings in 12 days between Boca and River in Argentina. That is a rivalry that is like, you know, the Yankees and Red Sox here in the United States.
And bigger than that.
There'll be a few more fistfights outside that stadium than at a Yankee. Well, I don't know. Got to be careful. The Yankees in Boston, it gets pretty intense as well.
It is intense, yeah, you know, but, you know, just as the soccer game, I just feel some more intense, as you know, get a little more physical.
We're a little biased, Jan, you know that. He is Jan Christensen. It is Danish Inspirations Contemporary Furniture. Get over there, danishinspirations.com. Jan, as always, we thank you for your sponsorship and promotion and support of this show.
Yeah, thank you, Glenn, and good luck, and I'll see you Wednesday.
You got it. That's Jan Christensen.
Thanks.
You know him from down at the Dynamo games. You know him from his great commercials and his goal call. He's the one and only. DanishInspirations.com. And again, this is a great moment for me just to thank Liberty Kitchen, 7-Up, Bud Light, Bar Munich, Daspit Law Firm, The Gorgeous Gale, all of you who have been so supportive of soccer on the radio. And without you listeners and callers, I'll say it again. We don't make it happen. And I can only tell you that on my birthday, I was overwhelmed, humbled, and really reminded of a lot of things with all the people willing to take the time to say happy birthday. And look, I know it doesn't happen without social media. But in fact, I was reminded it was my birthday because of social media. So that was a good thing.
Did you forget?
You know, buddy, I don't mind trying to forget a little bit. You know what I mean? But birthdays are fun. Yours was fun.
Surprise.
I'm still laughing at that video because the video when we bring the cake into Michael Karras, like, okay, why are you bothering me? I'm working. Then you loosened up later on, fortunately.
I did, and what's funny is I talked to Dave Tepper, former program director of the station, the former host, that night, and he said he saw the video on Facebook, and he was like, yeah, that's Michael Carroll. He's still staying in work mode, even though there's a cake and people are singing right next door or right next to me. So
that was pretty funny. You know what? The other interesting thing about that was, you know, I walked in and I'm like, my timing hasn't been good here. The man's working. And then I was like, do over. This is what everybody wants now. You make a mistake, you don't take a cat, it's do over. And I was like, nope, I'm forging through. I'm putting the cake down.
Y'all, literally, as I was coming back, like I was finishing up the traffic bed, boom, I hear happy birthday. I'm like,
Yeah, by the way, I started, you know, with my dulcet pipes and Fred Fowler, no singing from him, no singing from A.J. Hoffman. Who sang with me? Did anybody sing with me?
The intern, Lauren.
Lauren did. Lauren gets, and she also shot the video. She gets some real credit.
And Aaron, I believe, too.
And Aaron Raybould did as well. Yes, producer Aaron. So good on them. Fred, you ducked out on me, but, you know, that's okay.
Somehow I'm not surprised.
Yep. United States will play Guatemala in a friendly on July 3rd in Nashville, Tennessee. This will be the U.S.'s last game before defending the CONCACAF Gold Cup title. Now, I want to talk to you about Gold Cup and Copa America because if Giles Barnes gets picked to Jamaica, he could be gone in 3.5 weeks. So it's all coming very quickly. The Gold Cup, Copa America, it's coming very quickly, and it's going to be here before you know it. The Women's World Cup this summer up in Canada is going to be phenomenal. The United States, Abby Wambach, Alex Morgan, Carly Lloyd of the Houston Dash, all involved with this. Megan Klingenberg, Morgan Bryan. So it's going to be a fascinating summer. Really is. Now, another interesting development has taken place here in this area and in Texas. U.S. club soccer is, you know, there's so many organizations in this country and youth soccer teams playing under the umbrella of, you know, different organizations in South Texas Youth Soccer Association and 13 clubs, many of them here in Houston. Big name clubs making the jump from South Texas Youth Soccer Association. So you're wondering sort of what's the future of it. And they go to U.S. club soccer where they feel as though they can have more influence. And this is another topic that we're going to need more time to talk about in the future, but that they can have more influence on the soccer end of things, the things that are directly related to player development. So we need to get some of those guys on this show and maybe somebody from South Texas if they're willing to come on. But I can tell you, back in my days involved with player development, all the way back to the early 90s, we were begging, pleading to stop putting 9-year-old kids on 11-a-side soccer fields in 90-degree heat and expecting them to like the game of soccer. And it just never happened. It just took so long for these things to happen. And it was difficult. It was difficult. And I often, you know, there's always tremendous great organizers and leaders and passionate volunteers in the game of soccer, but I often wondered why some people were involved because it didn't even seem like they enjoyed the game. And then the flip side of that is there was tremendous efforts and influences by many, many people, you know, on the organization side and running these organizations. So interesting situation, something we need to talk about a little bit more in the future. We'll get a few more details on the whole thing, but 13 clubs making the move. Liga MX right now has, if you go look at the table, it's incredible. Veracruz, Tigres, Atlas, they all got wins this past weekend. They're all tied atop the table. Veracruz is in first place based on a tiebreaker. There are 8 teams in playoff positions separated by only 4 points. Then there's 5 teams outside of that zone, you know, that are within 5 points. And within 5 points of the top of the of Liga MX and within 3 points of the top 8. Pretty fascinating. that race down there. Playoff system, probably adopted from the U.S. It's the way it works. That music means it's break time. Now, we've got a couple of great interviews coming up. Next coming up, we'll bring him on the program. He's the one and only Giles Barnes. Right now has 5 goals in Major League Soccer. Only one off the league leader in MLS. The Dynamo sporting Kansas City tomorrow. And we thank you, as always, for supporting the program. So Giles Barnes coming up next after the break. After that, then we go to Mexico City with Tom Marshall. Twitter, Glenn Davis Sock. Facebook, Soccer Matters. If you want to give me a birthday present, go over and like us on our page. Facebook, Soccer Matters. And that's where you get the podcasts and the information on the podcast to the show as well. We'll take a quick break here. It's a 7-Up break. It's Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. I'm Glenn Davis.
You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the Lipo Dental Studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. A quick reminder here, it's Twitter, Glenn Davis, Sock, S-O-C. And then get over to Facebook, Soccer Matters. Over there we've got a ton of good articles I post over there that pose questions and debate. We want to hear from you. We want your opinion. You get a little opinion from me. It's a great place to go to talk the game, not only here locally with Major League Soccer and the Dynamo, but also the international game as well. Speaking of international, born in London, England, he joins us now. He's Giles Barnes. Giles, thank you for coming on the show.
Anytime, Glenn.
All right, Giles Barnes, right now, 5 goals in Major League Soccer, only one off the league leaders. All right, let's talk a little bit about this game against FC Dallas. I was surprised in this game. And I know you guys knew this was a counter-attacking outfit you were going up against. I was a little surprised how you guys, knowing what was coming, did not deal very well with the counter-attack.
Yeah, you know, I think we kind of surprised ourselves a little bit, Glenn, to be honest with you. You know, I think when we actually look back at it, they didn't really trouble us apart from on the counter-attack during the game, too. I think we worked out they scored the 4 goals from literally 5 or 6 attacks. So it was kind of, you know, it was kind of a weird day for us at the office, you know. But as you said, the beauty of football is you have a next game, and our game's tomorrow, and we get to kind of put that in the past and get back on track and get the points in.
Yeah, talk about how quickly you got back into training. I mean, you trained Saturday, Sunday, you trained today again, light session today, and right back to San Jose. But, you know, how did the manager deal with all this, and how about you guys as players? Because I went down to the training session on Sunday, and it seemed very vibrant, very active, and, you know, nobody seemed to be down. It seemed very upbeat.
That's the thing you get with Owen, you know. He's such a positive and such a positive person. He wants everyone to feel good, you know. He stated what we did wrong, but you know, as I said, the beauty of football is you always got a next game, and he kept on reiterating that to us as well. And basically, you know, our chance is tomorrow when we play against San Jose to get 3 points. And you know, it was obviously upsetting to lose the local derby, but. It's about, at the end of the season, you know, getting the little blips out of the way. And as long as we're where we need to be by the end of the season, I'm sure that will be forgotten.
Dynamo striker Giles Barnes joining us here, scored the spectacular free kick against FC Dallas. I get the sense that you just seem to be a player right now. You want the ball at your feet. You want the responsibility. You want to take people on. You want to try things. You want to think things differently. Is Owen Coyle sort of responsible for squeezing even more out of Giles Barnes at this point?
I think so. You know, forgive me the leadership role that he's given me. Owen's such a, as I said earlier, such a positive person. You know, he wants me to make things happen for the team. And, you know, I think he kind of looks to me as one of the guys that can kind of make something happen out of nothing. And, you know, to have someone believe in you like that, it's brilliant as a footballer. So, you know, every time I step on the pitch, I just try and, you know, keep rewarding that faith that he's put in me. And, you know, as everyone knows how much I love the Dynamo as well. I want my team to do well. I want to take my team as far as possible. So, you know, I'm trying as hard as I can to try and make everything work as quick as possible.
Getting more of that leadership role placed upon you by the manager, Owen Coyle, how does that change the way you do things now?
Not really too much, to be honest with you. Obviously, having a pretty decent year last year, I think the guys kind of looked for me
a little bit more than they would have the year before, which is pretty good. I've always been one of the kind of more vocal people on the pitch. I think that's just a bit my personality as well. So, you know, I just want my team to do well, Glenn, you know, and any way that I can help that and help that improve, that I'm willing and ready to take it on.
Now, you guys never seem to really, I don't know, from the outside, it doesn't look like you ever really have too much of a go at each other. Do you think the team needs a little bit more of that? Do you think the team needs a little bit more of an edge sometimes in training and in games where somebody might have a go with each other without anybody getting sensitive about it?
I don't think some of the people understand some of the stuff that actually does happen on the pitch. We get after each other, Glenn. We want to be successful, that, you know. And if that's about someone telling someone something, you know, Brad is the captain saying to me or to Rico or to Bees or any of the young players that this needs to happen, et cetera, for this to work, then, you know, it can turn into an argument on the pitch, or someone takes, a free kick or something and it doesn't go well, you know. There's little bits that get said that I don't think people pick up on, you know, which is... It's crazy that you kind of think that, because we have a lot of discussions in the change room. Everyone knows how much of a tight-knit squad we are. We have a lot of discussions, you know, interim in the change rooms and, you know, just before we come outside, the little circles and that kind of things. And if someone is doing something wrong, they get told about it on the pitch. And, you know, maybe before we might have been accused of being a little bit sensitive towards things, if we would hide in their shell. But everyone knows this isn't a witch hunt. We just all want to be going in the same direction. Which we are, and we want to be going forward, and we know what we need to do to achieve that.
He's Giles Barnes. Yeah, well, I kind of thought last year from the outside looking in, it seemed like it was just sometimes too friendly of a team. I mean, you do want to have a little bit of an edge, don't you? Because certain players play with the edge, and that's needed.
Yeah, you do. But as I said, I think there's things that maybe some people don't see. You know, maybe sometimes sure. The camera doesn't catch it, or that's not what they're looking for in those instances. But there's a few times on the pitch, you know, especially when we played Dallas, that you heard people having a pop at each other. And, you know, but as I said, as long as people are having a pop at each other for the right reasons and they understand that it's not a witch hunt, it's literally because we all want to be going in the same direction, and everyone's going to be fine with that. You know, everyone makes mistakes.
Isn't conflict healthy sometimes, Giles? A little bit of it?
Conflict and competition and those kind of things, it is healthy, you know. And, you know, I don't think anyone would ever turn around to anyone and say, oh, he did that because for personal reasons. It literally is because we all want to be winners.
Giles Barnes joining us here on Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. Again, the Dynamo in action tomorrow night against San Jose. Great storyline to this, the return of Dominic Kinnear here to Houston, Texas, with the San Jose Earthquakes. Do you think there'll be a little added incentive with the boys tomorrow night going up against the former manager? Some guys who maybe didn't play a lot, maybe trying to prove themselves. And remind Dom that, hey, maybe I needed more playing time last year.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's always the case. You know, if you didn't play much under a previous manager, or maybe if you didn't see eye to eye with a previous manager, you kind of have a little bit of edge about your kind of point to prove, you know. But, you know, we went up against San Jose in preseason. There was a little bit of an edge there too. So now we're bringing it into the regular season. I think it's going to be a good game.
Giles, when I look at San Jose, one thing I do say to myself is I go, wow, this may be one of the most athletic teams in Major League Soccer. Great overall team speed. Innocent, a new signing. Shea Salinas, Sana Niasi, Fatih Alashi, Cordell Cato. There's a lot of athleticism. Marvell Wynn. There's a lot of athletic players on this team.
For sure. There's definitely a lot of athletic players on that team. You know, but I think if you look around our team, you could say the same thing too. And we believe that we've got greater ball players as well. When you add that to the athleticism and a lot of things going for you, you know, the result can only be positive.
It's been a bit of a slow starting team last year, this year. Is there any reason for that? Not on the road, I don't think. I mean, I thought you guys, like in Seattle, you were up for the moment. First whistle, you were there. It sometimes seems that at home that you guys, it takes you a little while to get into a game.
Yeah, you know, Glenn, that's something we kind of actually highlighted, you know, between us as players. It was kind of something that we kind of said, hey, we need to start maybe pressing straight from the off, you know, put in a few more tackles in early just to set the tone, because we do feel, you know, the last game we started off pretty slow and we actually recognize that and we don't want that to happen again. So I'm sure you'll see us high pressing from the start tomorrow, maybe one or two tackles.
Now, it's interesting. When you play as the deeper lying striker, you end up playing maybe a little bit more in certain areas of the field closer to goal. when you play as the, you know, sort of behind a striker and behind Will, it's different. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow night, and I'm not going to ask you that because I'm sure you don't want to reveal that. But do you find that in these two different distinctive roles that you do find yourself maybe more often than not in differing areas of the field?
Yeah, for sure. You know, as the main striker, you kind of stay a little bit higher, to allow the creative players, the Boniacs, the Alexes, you know, Rico, Brad Davis, to come forward and play in those little areas where, you know, when I'm in that little deeper role, it's Will's job to keep the defenders a little bit higher so I can drop into little areas and try and find pockets. And, you know, it kind of allows you a little bit more freedom to go either wing. You can come and get it off the centre-backs. You can have that kind of rotation. Whereas you're the main striker, you have to be the focal point of the team and keep everyone high. And, you know, your runs are kind of more in behind people than when you play in the hole.
He's Giles Barnes. Houston Dynamo's got 5 goals on the year here in Major League Soccer. He's off to an outstanding season. Last year, he was the team MVP for this team. And there is a much different feel, though, now, right, to this team?
I think so, you know. Apart from the blip last game, you kind of know that there's a little bit of a spine in the sense of the back four, I think, have been brilliant all year, you know, apart from the last game. But, you know, it's sometimes as a collective unit, we have to take responsibility and not just blame the centre-backs or the full-backs or the defensive midfielder. You know, we win as a team, we lose as a team. So if we do it collectively, then we're going to be fine.
Let's talk briefly here about the last 116 minutes because I find it pretty fascinating, and this is kind of football. 74th minute against Sporting Kansas City, you're 3-1 up.
Mm-hmm.
Change game there. That ends in a 4-4 draw, and then – you know, over the course of the next 116 minutes, you concede 7 goals when at that point you were the number one team defensively in the league. It just shows you that, you know, levels of concentration. There is such a fine line to playing this game at this level.
There is, you know. But I'll give it to Dallas, to be honest with you. They were clinical with their finishes. You know, against Kansas, it was an individual mistake. You know, and other kind of scenarios that happened during the game where we might have taken our foot off the gas a little bit. But we understand, you know, as men and as players, that stuff can't happen. Mistakes are going to happen. You know, you can't eradicate those, but we can't allow the concentration to slip, especially when we're so comfortable. You know, and as I said, it was just an off night for everybody against Dallas, and we're looking to put that behind us tomorrow.
Are you excited that this game comes as quick as it does?
Yeah, definitely. It's exactly what you want. You know, that's your medicine. We go out there tomorrow, we get 3 points. You know, we marked on to Sunday.
Was there a healthy anger in the locker room after that game?
Of course, there has to be. You know, not just because it's Dallas, it's losing. You know, we're a team full of winners. We've got people who've been to World Cups, you know, played in Premier League, La Liga, people who've won things in college. So everyone that's in that change room wants to be a winner. So regardless of it's against Dallas or if it's against Austin Aztec, everyone, there's no happiness in the change room after a loss. You know, and that's healthy because you don't want to see people laughing and joking after a game. You know, you want people to be reflecting, you know, looking at themselves in the mirror. How can I do better? You want the team to be talking and, you know, understand that stuff can't happen again. And what's the best way to eradicate it?
Nights like this, Giles, and I would just say from personal experience, I couldn't wait, obviously, much like you, for the next game if I had not played well or played mm-hmm. poorly. Is the turnaround to this and the process, is it tough those days in between a game when you don't play well? You know, because that, bottom line is you're judged by your last game, aren't you?
Yeah, you are. You're judged by your last game, that's for sure. But, you know, you get out on the training pitch the next day. You assess yourself that night after the game. You get yourself out on the training pitch the next day. You train as hard as you can for the next 2 to 3 days. And then you look forward to stepping on that pitch, you know, on the Tuesday and putting that right. As I said to you earlier, Glenn, that's the beauty of football. You always have a next game. So, you know, you've always got a chance to make yourself bounce back.
Are things flying right now for you, Giles? I mean, is it seemingly going very fast here? I mean, with the Jamaica call-up, great start for you there, scoring in your debut, likely the Gold Cup for you this summer. And, by the way, you'd be playing right here at BBVA Compass Stadium, which is also pretty exciting and entertaining. So just is it really moving fast?
Yeah, it is, actually. You know, obviously getting the Jamaica call-up was an honor. To go to score and get an assist, it was kind of a dream come true. And then obviously you've got huge tournaments coming up. You've got Copa America, you've got Gold Cup, and then You know, I want to be in that MLS Cup final, lifting that cup at the end of the year too. So as long as it keeps going well, I've got no complaints.
Could anybody have scripted this any better? Jamaica playing in the Gold Cup here in Houston at BBVA Compass Stadium?
No, they couldn't. You know, a chance to hopefully get selected and play in front of my own fans, it would be amazing.
Yeah.
It would be an experience. I'm sure my family would be up for that too. So it's going to be good.
All right. Marcus, your younger brother, we always do a little bit of an update when we're with you. Tell me how Marcus Barnes is doing at Southampton and what's the latest on him, because I still love the day he came in studio with you.
Yeah, he's doing well. He had a game tonight, actually. They played against Manchester United. I think they lost 1-0. That was for the under-21s today. He's actually been pretty regular down with the first team, training on the Tuesdays and the Thursdays before games. So it's looking good for him. You know, he has to keep his feet on the ground. He's a hard worker. He's a great kid. And hopefully, you know, he gets his chance sooner than later.
How often do you speak to him as an older brother, and how much advice do you disperse?
I mean, I speak to him every day. You know, everyone knows how close I am with my brother. Even if it's just a hello, how's it going, et cetera, et cetera. But he turns to me for some advice sometimes, you know. Football's a lot of ups and downs. Even as an academy player or someone that's aspiring to get into the first team, I think there's a lot more lonely days and nights you're thinking about yourself and your performance and how you can get to the next level. So he's always asking me things, but you know, he's a really intelligent kid, and he just doesn't want information off me. He'll go and ask the other pros around Southampton. He'll go and ask the coach. You know, he's one of the first people on the training pitch and the last one off. I know it sounds so cliche, but he's someone that really wants it, and you know, I hope he gets his rewards.
He's Giles Barnes joining us here on ESPN 97.5. Last question before I let you go. At what point do you have to be careful that you're not overanalyzing your game and you're not getting too much information from too many different sources and areas?
Yeah, I think your number one critic always has to be yourself. You know, I think other people can always obviously tell you certain things, but you don't want too much information passing through your head. You have to analyze and, you know, realize what your strengths are, what your weaknesses are, where you did well, where you did bad, because, you know, it is in yourself. Even though football is a team sport, you need to know within yourself if you've done well or if you've not done well. And if you can honestly look at yourself and give yourself an honest assessment, I think that's the best kind of advice, or, you know, your best kind of medicine, if I'm really honest.
He's Giles Barnes. Giles, thank you very much for coming on the program tonight. Best of luck against San Jose.
Nice one, Glenn. Thank you very much.
All right. Let me tell you right now about two of my favorite restaurants in Houston. Liberty Kitchen in the Heights, Liberty Kitchen and Oysterette on San Felipe near the Galleria. Award-winning chefs at these restaurants. I love the raw bar at Liberty Kitchen and Oysterette, plus the smoked salmon over in the Heights at the Liberty Kitchen location there. Fresh fish, oysters, gumbo, right on down to amazing steaks and burgers. LibertyKitchen.com. LibertyKitchenOysterette.com. Bud Light. Soccer fans, a moment for Bud Light, the official beer of the Dynamo and the Mexican national team. Bud Light reminds you to get over to HoustonDynamo.com, get your season tickets at the beautiful BBVA Compass Stadium. Catch the Dynamo. Catch Giles Barnes and international soccer. Bud Light, the perfect beer for whatever happens. Bud Light, the official beer of the CONCACAF Gold Cup. Break time. More to come here on ESPN 97.5.
You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 from the Lipo Dental Studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, tonight we wrap it up in big style. We go down to Mexico City. Joining us live now from that great city in Mexico is the one and only Tom Marshall of ESPN, and he covers Liga MX like no other. Tom, thank you very much for coming on the program tonight.
No, thanks for having me, Glenn. Always a pleasure.
It's always a pleasure, and a lot of our listeners always look forward to your segments on this program. All right, let me take you back to the U.S. 2-0 victory over Mexico in San Antonio. Sold-out crowd. Obviously, both teams missing a ton of players. How was that received back in Mexico, the loss to the United States?
I think it's obviously due to the rivalry. Obviously, Mexico fans just hate losing against the United States. But I think it was kind of tinged with the reality that, you know, I think out of the starting 11 that Miguel Herrera fielded, I think probably only one will be a starter this summer in either the Copa America or the Gold Cup. So I think there is a realization that this was very much a kind of preparation and a kind of game more to fill out the squad than kind of to see who will be starting this summer. So I think there was a realization of that as well. It wasn't as intense as it would be you know, the United States beat Mexico in the Gold Cup this summer or something like that.
Do fans condition a game like that, though, and say to themselves and in discussion and maybe journalists in the press, do they go, well, it's not a full Mexican squad, so it really doesn't mean anything? Because you and I were at the game, and it meant something to 69,000 people.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I think the fact that, you know, the United States appears to have this hold over Mexico at present. I know, you know, I think it's back since the Gold Cup in 2011, the last time Mexico won against the United States, if I'm not mistaken. So there is that kind of psychological issue now that I think there is something there that I think Jurgen Klinsmann just really enjoys playing Mexico. And I think that it's something that Miguel Herrera knows. I think his post-game press conference was really interesting because he said, you know, he was asked, what do the fans think? What do the fans think about the, you know, they've gone so many games now against the United States without winning. And his reply was, you know, the story's going to change this summer. Don't worry. I mean, so when the Gold Cup's coming around, he's very confident that when he's got his full arsenal of players, that Mexico will defeat the U.S. Should be spicy.
Something tells me you used that quote in one of your articles, Tom.
Yep. You can't not use it.
You're going, that's gold there from Miguel Herrera. And I think that's why we like him as well, because he is pretty right up front. Now, let's continue this with the same thing. The under-23 U.S. national team gets a victory over Mexico. How about that? Is that conditioned, or is that, hey, the United States got a result at the under-23 level?
I mean, I think it's a similar story in that, you know, Mexico didn't have a lot of the players that will be there at you know, the Olympics in 2016. But again, I mean, it's not nice to lose against the United States. I think that a lot of Mexico fans on Twitter were kind of pointing to the fact that ahead of the Olympics, the United States beat Mexico, and then Mexico went on to be, you know, Olympic gold medalist. So I don't know. I mean, obviously, never ever nice for Mexico fans to be on the receiving end, especially against the United States. But I think there is a realization that, you know, it wasn't on TV down here in Mexico, and is very much part of the process that, you know, it's got a little over a year to go now before the Olympics. So I don't think the reaction was too fierce, to be honest.
He's Tom Marshall. He's ESPN FC. You can catch his readings at ESPN FC on the Internet, and his writings. And it's some great stuff. It's great coverage in Mexico. Let's go to Kubo Torres now, who did make the bench this past weekend for Chivas, but didn't. He hasn't played in the last three games. What's going on with Kubo Torres for Chivas, and when do you think he lands in the United States?
Yeah, I mean, I actually spoke to him about 10 days ago now, and, you know, it was the media day at Chivas, and he just didn't seem quite, he didn't seem very happy. I mean, he's usually quite bubbly and, you know, likes to speak, and, you know, I got him straight right at the beginning of the media day, so thought, you know, he might be fresh, and, you know, I asked him about, you know, when he might be coming to Houston, and he said basically as soon as Chivas' season ends. So whenever they kind of go out the playoffs, I mean, it looks like they're going to make the playoffs. So whenever they go out, then he would be going to Houston. Then there's the issue of, you know, is he going to be involved for Mexico this summer at the Copa America or possibly the Pan American Games? So we'll have to see how that works out. But, you know, honestly, Glenn, he's just not having a great time at the minute. You know, I was asking him about before the Super Clásico against America, how much it means. And, you know, it does mean a lot to the kid. He's a local Guadalajara kid, and for him to be completely left out of the squad for Mexico's biggest game, you know, will have really hurt him. So yeah, it's not going good for him at the minute, and I'm sure behind the he's quite well trained in terms of media, handling the media, but I'm sure in terms of underneath, he really can't wait now to head north to Houston.
Tom Marshall, ESPN, and, well, fans here in Houston are waiting for the arrival of Kubo Torres. Nobody knows when that's exactly going to be, and we've got to think he's going to get called up to the Mexican national team for one of these events. Let's go to Club America Montreal. And, you know, CONCACAF Champions League, opportunity to go to the FIFA Club World Cup. Boy, and so much hope put on Montreal here in the United States, representing not only Canada, but also Major League Soccer. No matter what any of you say out there, they are representing Major League Soccer. This, in the end, was a beatdown. And does this distinctively say this is the difference right now between the Mexican League and MLS?
Yeah, I mean, I think within one game, is difficult to say. I mean, let's not forget that the Montreal put out Pachuca, who are also a very good, you know.
No, but I mean, overall, Mexican clubs have dominated, Tom. I mean, let's face it. The CONCACAF Champions League is owned by Liga MX.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's the 10 consecutive titles now for Mexican clubs. So, yeah, I mean, I think Montreal did, I thought they did really well, and they were 45 minutes away. You know, America, they spent absolutely huge amount of money in the off season, and if you want a comparison, it's like almost like Bayern Munich. What they do is they pick the best players from the German league from other teams and bring them. I mean, the Club America did a similar thing in the last off season and the one before that as well. So this is really, you know, for me, the best squad in Mexico, and the firepower is unbelievable. And you know, Montreal held on as best they could, but that was always the danger that you would get a 10, 15, 20-minute period of the game where America actually clicks. And I think that's what we saw. And let's not forget, you know, Club America have played some really fierce league games when Montreal were given time off. So I thought Montreal, if there was ever a moment for this Montreal team to get a result against America, it was now. And it was on that artificial turf, which clearly Club America players had big problems with.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Dario Benedetto, he didn't have a big problem with it in the second half. Hat trick for him. Club America goes to the World Club Championship. So, what? I mean, how does Major League Soccer narrow the gap? I mean, look, Montreal spent $250,000 on their trip down to Mexico. MLS altered the scheduling. I think these are positive. But MLS has got to start winning this tournament, doesn't it? And is it strictly really just based on the amount of money spent on players between the two leagues?
I mean, I think it's a big factor because, you know, you look at Club America's squad and you've got, you know, 20 players, top, you know, mature professional players. And then below that, you've got a whole under-20s team and then coming through an under-17. So structurally, it's better at the minute than a Major League Soccer franchise. I'd say that not just for MLS, I think for this whole tournament, it needs a team apart from, you know, a non-Mexican team to win it, because quite frankly, being here down in Mexico and watching the coverage, obviously there's a lot of coverage because Club America is perhaps the biggest team in Mexico, but I think in general it's a bit, people are getting even a bit weary, because obviously if this happened in the Champions League in Europe and there was teams from Spain won it 10 times on the run, it would get slightly boring. So I think that you know, for the whole competition, it needs an MLS team or a Costa Rican team to win it and really kind of mix it up and get the Mexican fans and the Mexican press really kind of nervous about, you know, about the situation in the region.
He's Tom Marshall, ESPN. Tom, put your Twitter handle out there to my listeners, because I want them following you.
Yeah, no problem. When it's at Mexico World Cup, and, you know, I put all my articles up there with some opinion, and always like to interact with people on there.
Yeah, so I'm putting that out there because Tom is a great follow, great information, tremendous reporting from Mexico City. Now let's talk about the title race, because, God, it's like 4 points separating Santos in eighth place with the top team, Veracruz. And then, of course, you got a number of teams only 5 points out. So it's hard to predict what's going on in Liga MX now, right?
It really is, and I mean, I think that, you know, there's a lot of criticism of the league, and it's, you know, it's structured because Mexico has two seasons every year, and both of them are playoff, you know, go through the playoffs. So, you know, it's definitely not the norm in terms of, you know, the world and how most leagues are run. But I mean, what it does give you is this situation now where next weekend we've got, you know, we've got all the way down to Pumas in 13th place, all with a chance of getting a playoff spot. And you've only got three teams already qualified, Veracruz, Tigres, and Atlas. So it's going to be extremely exciting. And you look at in Europe at the minute, the Bundesliga, Premier League, Serie A, all of them have been decided already with games to spare. And in Mexico, honestly, if you ask me, Glenn, who do I think is going to be favourite to lift the trophy in about a month's time? Absolutely no idea. I could make an argument for Tigres. I could make an argument for America, but it would not be at all clear. And I think it has to be a positive of the Mexican League and how it's run at the minute.
Let me ask you a question. Who do you think has played the most consistent football over the entire season?
Tigres No doubt about it. I think Tigres and Veracruz have been the huge surprise. But I'd say Tigres, I'd pick them out especially because they've been going through the Copa Libertadores as well. And traditionally, Mexican teams have really, really struggled to balance the, you know, the long travel down to South America with playing the domestic matches. Whereas this Tigres side under Tuca Ferretti, the very experienced coach, is really just kind of, it's really in unison with the manager and the players and the crowd, and everything seems to be fitting together. However, to, you know, it's going to come to a crunch, and if they get to the semi-finals of the Liga MX and the quarter-finals of the Libertadores, it's the same week, and there's something's got to give. And historically, the Liga MX just doesn't help out its teams that are in the Libertadores, which for me is an absolute massive shame.
Yeah, and they value it so much. He's Tom Marshall of ESPN. Catch his writings over at ESPN.com, and you go to the soccer, click on the soccer and football column, and you're going to get to his commentary and his opinion and his reporting from Mexico City. It's great, and he's been giving us a Kubo Torres watch here pretty much every couple of weeks here on Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. Give me a couple of players now that in this championship right now in Liga MX that you think you know, are kind of blossoming now and kind of bubbling up to the surface here as players to watch in the future.
I think there's a kid at Querétaro called Obelín Pineda. I think he's only just turned 19. He might even be still 18. He's going to go to the Under-20s World Cup for Mexico. I've been trying to get an interview with him, but Querétaro won't let him speak. But just to put this in perspective, Ronaldinho's been starting on the bench for Querétaro, and this 19-year-old kid's been playing pretty much as an attacking midfielder. He scored some unbelievable goals. I think he scored 5 already this season. Victor Manuel Vucetic has got him started every single week. And I think there's a lot of excitement around the kid now. So he's definitely one to watch. Aside from that, I'd say, let's have a think. I mean, we've got Ponchito Gonzalez at Atlas. He's been injured recently, but, you know, he's showing signs that he's already made his debut for the Mexican national team. But I think he's somebody, a left-footed player, Glenn. We know that left-footed players, especially, kind of
very coveted.
You know, the value of them go up. So he's another one.
Yeah. Well, listen, Tom, as always, we thank you very much for coming on the program. And again, that's Tom Marshall from Mexico City of ESPN. Thank you very much, Tom, as always, for coming on the program.
Thanks a lot, Glenn. It was good fun.
Always good fun, and we'll do it again real soon. That's Tom Marshall, and right now, quick word here for Bud Light. Bud Light reminds you to get over to BBVA Compass Stadium. There'll be Gold Cup matches there this year, a Kenny Chesney concert coming up, all kinds of great things happening down at BBVA Compass Stadium. Bud Light also reminds you to get down there to watch the Houston Dynamo and the Houston Dash, the Dash of the NWSL. They will play this weekend as well. And, of course, the Dynamo tomorrow night against San Jose on the return of Dominic Kinnear. Bud Light, great supporters of the game of soccer, great supporters and sponsors of Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. We thank Bud Light. I thank producer Michael Carroll, you the listeners, you the callers. Twitter, Glenn Davis Sock. Facebook, Soccer Matters. Get over there. Like us. Friend us. Good night, everyone. Yo!